If you're online, if you're listening online, we are in Jonah chapter 1 tonight, and we have some questions before we get to Jonah 1. Shortest book in the Bible? Shortest book in the Bible? Old Testament. Obadiah is correct. 2 is what? What's the answer to 2? 31,102 what? Verses is correct. 1,189 in the Bible. How many of these? Chapters. Who's the son of Amittai? Jonah. What family relation was Joseph to Abraham? Great-grandson is the correct answer. Who's the fig-pinching prophet? Amos, correct. So you say it 3 times fast. Fig-pinching prophet. I'm just going to say it once and leave it at that. Obadiah predicted the destruction of what country? A little harder question. What? Edom is correct. Yeah, if you said Edom, you did say it correctly. Amos prophesied judgment through a vision of this carpenter's tool. Plumb line. The minor prophet's name means Jehovah is God. Has L on the end? Joel. Correct. Joel. Where Abraham was willing to offer Isaac. Place of Christ's crucifixion. The place, Mount Moriah, yes. The threshing floor and possibly where Goliath's head is buried. Introduction. So we find here that Jonah is found submitting to the will of God. Well, he finds it a very difficult thing to do. Let's read a few verses here as we get started. Jonah, about 775 B.C. Now the word of the Lord. Now what does the capital L-O-R-D, all caps, mean? Who is that? Yahweh, correct. It's the tetragrammaton. It's the Yahweh. That simply means that it's the, we would call them consonants. And then they added the vowels, so the YHWH, etc. Yahweh, when you add the vowels, it becomes that. Jonah then is the son of Amittai. The Lord came to Jonah is saying, how in the world did this happen? How in the world did the word of the Lord come to Jonah when he may not have had any, may have had some Bible, but possibly had no Bible at all? Let's just say he didn't have any. So how did that happen that God spoke to, how does God speak to you today? Right, open the Word. Holy Spirit speaks to us and He convicts our hearts. So if he doesn't have the Bible to pull out, how does the verbally? Or through a dream or through a vision. That's how God spoke in the past. There are 5 dreams in Matthew 1 and 2 alone. So how God speaks to through dreams. Some will say God, I remember hearing, he's dead. The guy that started the 700 Club, Pat Robertson, he was, I had a vision last night. I heard him say, I had a vision last night or something. That's not the vision that from Jehovah God. Okay, Jehovah's God. So I think it's Pat Robertson. I'm pretty sure he's dead. And so, I'm not trying to wish him ill or anything, but there we are. So, but this is different. God speaks to, does God speak to anybody else in the Old Testament not from a cloud? Does God speak to anybody? Yeah. He spoke to a lot of people. He came, he spoke to Abraham in chapter 18. He appeared as a man and spoke to God. He spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Every night he'd come down and speak to them in the garden and they had, can you imagine that for a moment? Every evening, you're walking in the garden, and here comes God. Yes, and they gave that up. He even spoke to Balaam. So, I just want you to think. I want you to take what Bible knowledge you have learned and apply that. You can have all, I want you to do, and so when people ask you, we have a lot of people like you, and you have a good Bible background, keep it. Your grandchildren and your sons and daughters, they need to know what the Bible says. And you need to know, that way, that's why you have it, not just to hoard it up. We are to be a can open on both ends where the Spirit goes through and out to somebody else. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. God's not done with you. Do you think God could take you home in a moment if He's done with you? Yes, but you're here for a reason. So, let's fulfill what God has for us. And I trust you're doing that. I believe most of you, that's what our goal, that's what your goal is. By God's grace, we want to serve Him however He would have us to serve until it sounds like the end is near. I mean, it sounds like we're getting close. So arise, he says to Jonah, and go to Nineveh, the great city. By the way, before you think great's a good thing, Herod was called Herod the Great. So just don't get, the great city is not like always a good thing. And cry against it. Do you see the two cries. Think, it just comes, what does that mean to cry? I see two things here. Cry against it to preach the gospel and cry against it, for they won't change their ways. So cry, I don't see that necessarily, but it could be cry against it. Yes, lamentation. For their wickedness has come up before me. That reminds you of what city back in Genesis chapter 19? We had a wickedness that came up before. Solomon reminds us of Hezekiah chapter 4. America. The wickedness that came up before. It's not in the Bible, but if it comes up before him regarding that, why doesn't it come up before regarding us? But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Is this a good plan? No. And went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. Now just think for a moment. A double entendre. Paid the fare thereof. He not only paid with his money, he paid with his comfort for 3 days. So he paid the price. So running away from God, I'm just telling you, he's going to spank you. And if you can run away from God and not have any conviction, you're not one of his children. Because the Bible says clearly, for whom the Lord loves, he spanks. Not those exact words, but that's his discipline, Hebrews chapter 12. So he wasted his money. And yes, what did you say? No hiding place from God. He wasted his money. It may have cost a lot, I don't know. And he went down into the ship to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, he had not read Psalm 139. Where shall I go from thy presence? Because there's nowhere to go. If I make my bed up here, and if I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I make my place in heaven, you're there. I think, though, he may well have known. What's the principle? Why would God call him in the first place if he was not God's person? Why would he call an unbeliever to... Why would he call an unbeliever, yes, to share the gospel, though? Why would he call an unbeliever to preach? So that's something, but... Yes, good. Yeah. I think he was a walk with God in some capacity for God to start using him. He has, but I will tell you this, an unbeliever can take God's word and read the Bible, and the Holy Spirit can convict this person's heart. And even though this person's not a believer, they can come to the Lord because it's the word of God that makes a person hear. How many pastors who weren't really saved were in churches for a long time? I think of that, the guy wrote that book, he said, I'm not a Christian anymore, but how many people are in his large church had come to know the Lord because the Holy Spirit spoke to them while he was preaching? I mean, they're going to stand before the Lord and say, have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not done this? Have we not walked up all the 16 levels on our knees and bloodied our knees? Have we not done the 14 stations of the cross? Have we not whipped ourselves mercilessly? Have we not carried a wooden cross ourselves every Easter for 15 years? We deserve heaven. Well, we're only going to go if we know the Christ of heaven. And so, isn't that going to be sad? Mother Teresa. If Mother Teresa doesn't rely upon God's forgiveness for her sin, even though she's so famous, she's not going to be in heaven. I'm not trying. That's the beauty of the gospel message. Children 4 years old can understand how Christ died for them, and I'm a sinner, and I need to trust you, Lord. We shall. I think we'll stop right there in 3. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord. So let's go right to our outline. We've already just sort of covered some of the things already. God's call to Jonah. I asked the question, why does God, and this is where my thinking, and I'll let you give you a chance, why did God include the book of Jonah? Why did God include, now, okay, I know he knows all, he knows what's best, but what is maybe your, why did God include just one narrative? Minor prophet. It is an important book, yes. Especially when Christ quotes it in the Old New Testament. Maybe Jonah pastored the largest Baptist church in the area of Israel after this. Maybe. We don't know. We don't know. He certainly pastored the largest church in Nineveh. We read the Bible and we don't sit. What have I read? And that's why I started just taking one verse. No one, hardly anybody. Who'd want to go? What people group today would be the equivalent of Nineveh? Muslims, New York City. These are the worst people in ancient times. In the Near East, they were the most feared. They were the most cruel. They were the most ugly as far as their actions. Los Angeles. Okay. I was thinking Iran. I was thinking of Gaza. Hamas. Exactly what I was thinking. Hamas. Going to Gaza, Hamas. I mean, as a Christian. Yes. That's what God is asking Jonah to do. The first thing that's going to happen, they're going to cut off my head. Actually, they would do a lot of torturing probably before they cut off his head. And they were that kind of heinous people. And they did all these, they just trampled on and just ruined the lives. They were just evil people. And so Jonah's been asked to go to this huge city. Factoids, we find an interesting the contrast. In chapter 1, Jonah is God's call to Jonah. Chapter 2, in the fish's belly, is Jonah's call to God. Chapter 1, God's plan for his man. Chapter 2, we find God's man's prayer to his God. First chapter, we see Jonah's rebellion. And the second chapter is Jonah's repentance. And in your outline, the contrast in Jonah will help us evaluate where we stand in relation to making ourselves available to God. I've had, in my previous, where I was working, I had so much more time to think about messages, and I had time to think through and study at lunchtime. It's just constant now, and so I'm not complaining. My life has changed so much, and it's easy, if you're a very busy person at your job, it's easy to forget, what's the real purpose? And I'm spending all my hours and spinning my wheels, and the most important thing is sharing God's Word and being the Christian I should be, but maybe God's called me to do this, to have more influence. I don't know, but we've all got to adjust, but don't let the busyness of this world rob us of the joy of this. And I've got to tell myself that. And if you're a busy person, I'm right there with you right now. And so, let's pray for one another. The Lord help us not to lose. If we're cutting out this, we need to cut out something else on the other side or something else. So number one, the man in these times. Verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, etc. So it's an unusual book. He was a prophet, yet there's the one little prophetic verbiage. He said, yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown. Those were the words. But yet, as we mentioned earlier, chapter 2, Jesus does go back and say, as Jonah was 3 days in the... It really makes sense. We'll cover it more in chapter 2. But has Jesus died? Remember Jesus died? So Jonah, to make the whole thing fit, died. Yeah, I think that's my personal opinion. We'll talk about it more. And you can read ahead on that if you want. But he's a missionary. He didn't want to go to the mission field. He saw one of the greatest revivals, as I already mentioned, ever. And yet he was unhappy because there was revival. Who is this unmasked man? Where did he live? Was he for real? What does Jonah's name mean? Dove, D-O-V-E. Son of Amittai, son of. Do you know in the New Testament what three-letter word means son of? Bars, correct. Very good. Bar-Jonah, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Timaeus, son of Timaeus. And so B-A-R was son of. But here he's the son of. Now, I don't know what it was in Hebrew, but he's the son of Amittai. So the book of Jonah gives no other information about him. However, he is mentioned in 2 Kings 14:25, also in the New Testament. In 2 Kings 14:25, it says, he restored, this is speaking of Jeroboam too, the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. So, that's probably the poor way to pronounce that, Gath-Hepher, but that's how it looks like to me. We don't want that one. We don't want that. Well, we do want that one. How about this one? Nay, 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 nay. Oh, I like these maps. Thank you for getting those, Mr. Lauderdale. Fine time passed. We'll start using those. Here we go. I don't want that one, I don't think. So, there we go. So here we have our, I like this, it's a beautiful map. We have our, We're right here is the Sea of Galilee. You got the Dead Sea. You got down here would be Edom. We talked about last time Edom down in here. Dead Sea. Here is Sodom and Gomorrah, the area. All the way up here is, right in this area right through here, is Gath Hepher. So that's in the basic general area. So what part of Israel, what kingdom of Israel is way up here? Northern kingdom. How many tribes are in the northern kingdom? 10, correct. Down here is the two southern kingdoms, which are? Judah and Benjamin. Very good. So there we are. There's his hometown. So Jonah was, he preached for about 3 days. It was 3 days he preached, Nineveh, and they repented. It's an amazing thing. It was also number four. The king was Jeroboam the second. Now Jeroboam the first was, what was Jeroboam the first? He's the first king of what? Northern kingdom. Very good. First king of northern kingdoms. Rehoboam, southern kingdom. Jeroboam, the 10 northern tribes. Jeroboam the second was like the longest reigning 40 or 41 years. It was actually called the golden age of the northern kingdom. He actually was able to expand the boundaries to the Solomon David era. And so he had this huge expanded again. You would be amazed at how much that actually, I don't have it on this map, actually that Israel included under David and Solomon, because here, little bit of Israel, and here is over the rivers, they would all the way to here, all the way in here was all, this is a huge amount of land, compared to that little bit right there, what's right now, all this, Iraq, Syria, Saudi Arabia, where all this was Israel, David's day. And one day, I believe it will be theirs again. So all these people are going to be converted or moved or something, but this is going to be Israel's. And so if they're a believer, they'll rejoice in that. Can you imagine that the Palestinian believers will be, maybe they've already changed, but the Palestinians who know Christ will actually one day like Israel? We're going to have the right heart toward everybody. And they will like us. By the way, we're only just a little bit below Israel in far, as far as hatred. Matthew chapter, let's look at Matthew 12, 38, please. Matthew 12, 38. And we will see. I've got glasses here somewhere already, I know. On the table, on the pew. I had them here somewhere. They're on my face. There we go. You didn't hear anything. You didn't see anything, hear anything. Matthew chapter 12. Shows how I'm getting older. My eyes are getting worse. Here is Jonah in the New Testament. And it's interesting, was mentioned, and I thought at first it was heresy. Not heresy. But I heard one of the guys I listen to all the time said he doesn't care for the red letter Bible. And I was thinking, why not? And then he said, what people do is they take the red letters and they consider only that God's word because they're Jesus' words. And the rest might be up for debate. So if it's red letters, they say, you know, that's the only thing that's really God's word and everything else. And so I never thought about it from that standpoint. Now I'm still using my red letter Bible and I like my red letter Bible, but I was a step back. Well, I never thought of it like that. But I could see how people would say, you know, Jesus spoke those words. He didn't speak anything else on it. Jesus spoke it all. It's all, if you know the Bible, you know it's all His Word, right? Yes. All right. But here Jesus says for us regarding this Jonah, 38 of 12 of Matthew, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from Thee. And He answered and said of them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Why is Nineveh arising to the generation that Jesus is talking to? Because they will not believe Him. And the Ninevites did believe God's word. And this generation that has God in the midst of them, we're not going to leave it as a whole. But be more tolerable in the days of Sidon and whatever the two cities as it was for Yeah. Can you imagine how bleached his skin was? Yes. It was a 500 to 600 mile walk to from where he was going to go, because it's over here on the Tigris River. It's just south of Mosul, wherever it is. It's over on the Tigris River. So it's like 500 to 600 mile walk from where he was over to here. So here's Joppa, and they believe that Tarshish is where's he going? Yeah, Tarshish right here, but where he's going. Anyway, it's maybe even on the northern part of Africa there. So, yes, through the city, yeah. And to get to that 3-day journey was like a 500-mile walk. It was a huge walk. Once you got the city itself was 3 days walk across, and I have the statistics there in your. I think it's in your thing. It was the city itself covered about 25 to 30 miles. And there was a core city that was 1.5 miles, in this way it was a radius? Yes. Circumference was 8 miles. The walls were 100 feet high, 50 feet thick. Not around the 3 mile, but around the inner core city was 8 miles. That's still 8. Can you do an 8 miles of 100 feet high walls, 50 feet thick? That's a lot of concrete. And they even had towers that reached up another 100 feet, according to historians. And so that was the city of Nineveh, a huge city. Now, Philip says up to 1 million people. It says that the last verse of Jonah that just says there was 120,000 that didn't know the right hand from the left. Is that the very last verse? Let's look and confirm on that, because I haven't gotten that far, read that far along yet. I have read the first part, but not. I don't think it's the last. I think it's the very last verse. It is. 4:11, and should not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons. Score is 20, so 620s is 120, so 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, also much cattle. So they were evil people. I'm not going to try to be too crude, but they even, if you realize when they repented, they covered the animals. So I'm not sure you have, but that could have been part of the degradation of this society, and so you can. We'll get there a little bit later on. So it was a very degraded society. They were evil from inside out, and yet God saved them. Isn't God's grace marvelous? And where did it start? You know where it started? The king. It started with the king, and from the king on down. And when the king did it, the people followed, and God's spirit worked. And Jonah was so unhappy. You know, before we pray, what would you think if a group of Hamas evil, they came in and got saved? Well, you know, I'm just not sure they deserve to be saved, because they've been so evil. I'm not saying anybody else thinks, or I even think like that, but we might. Are they just playing to get so they can chop off our heads? But let's say they genuinely got saved. We should rejoice. Well, they're such sinners. We all are sinners. But you see how we could start down that road and we could say they don't even deserving of salvation. Nobody does. And maybe if they'd heard the truth of the gospel, like we have had the privilege of hearing. So I guess maybe what I'm saying is let's not get arrogant about, let's have a compassion for people. I'd love to see it too. That'd be great. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. I love your word and love you most of all. Thank you for giving your word to us. There's so much in your word and so little we really tap into and understand. So Lord, may we be about your word. May we be learning, excited, and growing, and look for what you have for us. And Lord, every day you will give us something if we'll look. So Lord, may we do that. Bless us as we go our separate ways. Be with the many requests of this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.